Hi, this is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible number 186. I'm your host, Steve Webb. How you doing? Thank you for joining me today. We're reading Joshua chapter 11 from the Contemporary English Version. Let's begin. Joshua chapter 11. King Jabin of Hazor heard about Joshua's victories, so he sent messages to many nearby kings and asked them to join him in fighting Israel. He sent these messages to King Jobab of Madon, the kings of Shimron and Akshaf, the kings in the northern hill country and in the Jordan River valley south of Lake Galilee, and the kings in the foothills and in Naphath-Dor to the west. He sent messages to the Canaanite kings in the east and the west, to the Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, and Jebusite kings in the hill country, and to the Hivite kings in the region of Mizpah near the foot of Mount Hermon. The kings and their armies went to Merom Pond, where they set up camp and got ready to fight Israel. It seemed as though there were more soldiers and horses and chariots than there are grains of sand on the beach. The Lord told Joshua, "Don't let them frighten you. I'll help you defeat them, and by this time tomorrow they will be dead. When you attack, the first thing you have to do is to cripple their horses. Then, after the battle is over, burn their chariots." Joshua and his army made a surprise attack against the enemy camp at Merom Pond and crippled the enemy's horses. Joshua followed the Lord's instructions, and the Lord helped Israel defeat the enemy. The Israelite army even chased soldiers as far as Misrephoth-Maim to the northwest, the city of Sidon to the north, and Mizpah Valley to the northeast. None of the enemy soldiers escaped alive. The Israelites came back after the battle and burned the enemy's chariots. Up to this time, the king of Hazor had controlled the kingdoms that had joined together to attack Israel. So Joshua led his army back and captured Hazor. They killed its king and everyone else, and then they set the town on fire. Joshua captured all the towns where the enemy kings had ruled. These towns were built on small hills, and Joshua did not set fire to any of these towns except Hazor. The Israelites kept the animals and everything of value from these towns, but they killed everyone who lived in them, including their kings. That's what the Lord had told his servant Moses to do, that's what Moses had told Joshua to do, and that's exactly what Joshua did. Joshua and his army took control of the northern and southern hill country, the foothills to the west, the southern desert, the whole region of Goshen, and the Jordan River valley. They took control of the land from Mount Halak, near the country of Edom in the south, to Baal Gad in Lebanon Valley at the foot of Mount Hermon in the north. Joshua and his army were at war with the kings in this region for a long time, but finally they captured and put to death the last king. The Lord had told Moses that he wanted the towns in this region destroyed and their people killed without mercy. That's why the Lord made the people in the towns stubborn and determined to fight Israel. The only town that signed a peace treaty with Israel was the Hivite town of Gibeon. The Israelite army captured the rest of the towns in battle. During this same time, Joshua and his army killed the Anakim from the northern and southern hill country. They also destroyed the towns where the Anakim had lived, including Hebron, Debir, and Anab. There were not any Anakim left in the regions where the Israelites lived, although there were still some in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. That's how Joshua captured the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and Joshua divided it up among the tribes. Finally, there was peace in the land. May God bless the reading of His Word. I have a few thoughts about this chapter of Joshua, but first, did you know that glossophobia is one of the most common phobias or fears? Maybe you have it. What's glossophobia? It's fear of public speaking. Now, by definition, a phobia is an irrational fear, but if you get nervous, if you get a dry mouth, if your hands begin to shake and your knees get weak at the thought of being called on to read the Bible in public, maybe I can help you just a little. I have to admit that I get a bit nervous if I have to speak in public, but one of the ways I deal with the butterflies is to be prepared. I try to get to know my subject by studying and anticipating what I'll be presenting. And if there are difficult words or names that might trip me up, I rehearse their pronunciation. Are you called on to read the Bible in public? My book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, will be an immense help to you when it comes to easing your nervousness, because every name in the Bible becomes easy to say when you see how I show you how to do it in this book. And even if you never speak in public but are no longer satisfied to skip those long names in your personal Bible study time, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide will make that time so much more fulfilling when you learn how those names are supposed to be said. But remember, time is ticking away before the price on my book goes up. You can download your own copy at easybiblenamesguide.com right now for just $5.99. But on February 1st, 2015, the price will increase to $15.99. Now, it took 2 years for me to research and compile this resource, and I've been told that $5.99 is far too low for such a valuable tool. But I wanted to give you fair warning before the price goes up. Head over to easybiblenamesguide.com and get yours today for just $5.99. It's a digital download, and it can be on your hard drive or your device in no time, and you'll never stumble over a hard Bible name again. Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide makes it easy to pronounce any name in the Bible. It's got over 7,400 entries with every spelling from every English Bible translation. If you're a Bible study leader, a homeschool teacher, a pastor, a lectionary reader, or just a student of the Bible, and you're tired of stumbling over those difficult Bible names, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide can help you. There's no risk either. When you buy the book, and if you don't think that this book will help you, I'll return your money with my thanks for giving it a try. And if you buy it now, the price is only $5.99, but that's for a very limited time. EasyBibleNamesGuide.com. So, in Joshua 11, there are three things I wanted to focus on for just a moment. The first is that we see in the first few verses that Israel's enemies banded together to defeat them. They weren't concerned about what their own differences were. They knew that Israel had defeated every enemy that they faced, so if they were to have any chance at all, they knew that they had to fight Israel together. Now, we as Christians could learn from that. We have a common enemy too, and that enemy is the enemy of man's soul. It's Satan. And just as Israel had no prayer of defeating their enemies in the Promised Land without the help of God, we have no help of defeating Satan without the help of that same God. And we have a better chance of victory if we forget about the things that cause division and focus on what we have in common, Jesus the Messiah. The world today is in turmoil on 100 different fronts, but you can be sure that the same enemy is behind it all. He delights when man is fearful, combative, hateful, and without hope. It's our job to tell mankind of the good news of Jesus Christ. But if we're divided, our message is diluted. The world is less inclined to believe us. Jesus said they'll know that we're Christians by our love for one another. Believers need to focus on the one who died for us, not on our petty differences. The second thing I wanted to look at here is notice that God didn't fight these battles for Joshua miraculously like he did in the beginning. He's already demonstrated to Joshua that he is with him, and he assures Joshua that he will have the victory in these upcoming battles. But he gives Joshua the battle plan and then leaves Joshua to execute that plan. Friends, as we mature in our spiritual life, he expects more of us. He expects us to fight our own battles. How many times have I heard someone say, "If God would just take that temptation away, because I just can't handle it on my own." That's hogwash. He has given you what you need. You just need to do it. God didn't fight all of Joshua's battles, and he's not going to fight all of our battles either. And lastly, near the end of the chapter, when Joshua and Israel are nearly done with taking the land promised to their fathers by God, we're told that, quote, "Joshua and his army killed the Anakim from the northern and southern hill country," unquote. Killed the Anakim. Who were the Anakim? Well, remember when Moses was still alive, just as he brought the people to the threshold of the Promised Land, he sent 12 men in to scout out the country. And when they came back, most of the scouts correctly said that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But then they said that the people who live there are strong and their cities are large and walled. They said, "We even saw the three Anakim clans. In fact, we saw the Nephilim, who are the ancestors of the Anakim. They were so big that we felt as small as grasshoppers." And so the people of Israel became fearful. They forgot about all the miracles that God had done for them to bring them out of Pharaoh's Egypt, how he took them through the sea, how he gave them water out of a rock, how he fed them manna from heaven. They said, "We wish we had died in Egypt or somewhere out here in the desert. Is the Lord leading us into Canaan just to have us killed and our women and children captured? We'd be better off in Egypt." And then God became angry at them and ultimately said, in essence, "Fine, they want to die in the desert they shall die. Not one of this generation will set foot in the promised land." So the Anakim were the people who brought the most fear into that generation, and they were among the last of the enemies that Joshua and his army destroyed. What we can take from that, my friends, is that the thing that brings you the most fear as a young believer might just be the last thing you face when you're more seasoned. But just as God was able to defeat Israel's enemies when they first arrived at the Promised Land, had the people only believed, He is able to bring your victory if you will believe. Thanks for being with me today. Tomorrow is Friday. I'll see you then. For now, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.